Amen. He is risen. Awesome. Lights on, please. I hate following worship every Sunday morning, because how do I follow that? But we're going to get through it. Amen? I want to give a shout out to those who are watching online from Sweden, Nevada, Oklahoma, Michigan, West Coast, wherever you are watching with us online today, and are surrounding this area as well. He is risen. He is risen. Those words are true. You just can't make this stuff up. If there was no resurrection, then there wouldn't be Christianity. You can't make this stuff up. Christianity was not made by human. The resurrection gave birth to Christianity and changed humans. It would have been impossible to make something like this up. Jesus was dead. Jesus was dead. That the Roman cross, the punishment, was intended to take out anybody who would stand up against Rome. It was intended to punish the worst of the criminals. If you didn't make it to the cross, most didn't make it to the cross. Because they would have passed out, would die during the torture itself. And if you made it to the cross, they make sure you're dead before they take you down. They take a staff, they staff you to the side, and they break your bones to make sure your body collapsed so your lungs will stop taking in air. There is no way anyone would survive the crucifixion. Jesus was dead. They made sure Jesus was dead. In John chapter 19, the soldier took his staff and pierced his side to make sure there was no movement. And after they pierced his side, a Nicodemus and another man visited him and took the bodies down and prepared it for the burial. You can't make this stuff up. Jesus was dead. And the way you prepare someone's body is you put herbs and you take a cloth, you wrap around it. It would have been really weird if Jesus was still breathing to prepare his body, right? It would have been really weird. Oh, sorry, Jesus, you got to pretend that you're still dead so we can go through this process. You can't make this stuff up. Jesus was dead. And after they prepare the body, they make sure that he was secure in the tomb. Matthew 27, it retells the story that Pilate sends some guards along with the Pharisees to make sure that the tomb was protected and guarded so no one can steal his body. Jesus was dead, and you can't make this stuff up. But 3 days later, early in the morning, John chapter 20, early in the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone has been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they put him." You can't make this stuff up. This manuscript was written 20 years after the resurrection of Jesus. The thoughts, the mind, the process, what they saw, what they experienced was still fresh on their minds. People who saw Jesus resurrecting from the dead, from the Olive Garden, the Garden of Olives, was still alive. Not the restaurant Olive Garden. These are life-altering events. These are memories just don't go away. How many guys remember 9/11? Yeah. I remember 9/11 like it happened yesterday. I was a senior in high school walking out of English class. I got an A, by the way. It was a good thing I was dating the teacher's daughter. That was a good thing. I was walking out of English class, and 10 a.m., I saw the news, and I remember exactly, I was walking down the hall. I remember my friends even standing to my right. I see this whole picture in my head, and I saw the airplane flying into the building as we walked past a TV screen at Spanish River High School. These are life-altering, changing events. You just don't forget something like that. I remember the first time I set my foot off the airplane in Los Angeles, LAX, as I entered the land of the free called America. That was awesome. Okay? I walked down the airplane. There were people cheering. I was 6 years old. And I still remember. People were cheering. Yeah! They were holding signs. I have no idea what the sign said. Right? I didn't speak any English and neither to read it. They probably said, go back where you came from. No, I'm just kidding. You can come, but not you. Okay, no, didn't do that. But these are life-altering events. You don't forget stuff like that. I remember walking out of the airport. There was this really tall blonde lady. Well, everyone's still really tall compared to me. But at the time, she was really tall. And all I heard coming out of her mouth when she was talking to my dad was these S sounds, like that's how English sounded to me. And I'm convinced that's why I adapted adding an S at the end of all my sentences, because I think that's what English is supposed to sound like. If this is your first time visiting, you come back a couple of times, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You sit here long enough and you pay attention, you know what I'm talking about. I'll start adding S's at the end of my sentences. But I think that's where I picked up from, right? But these are life-altering events. It etches in your soul. You know, just don't forget stuff like that. The resurrection was one of those events. Jesus resurrected from the dead. He went and had breakfast with his disciples. He walked down the street and spoke to people. He gathered 5,000 people and watched them ascended into heaven. These people wrote it down just 20 years after that. It's still fresh in their mind. You don't forget something like that, and you don't make up something like that. If someone made up Christianity, entertain me for a second, okay? If someone made up Christianity, they completely missed what Jesus went through on the cross. The cross, a cruel, unusual punishment, was intended to discourage people from committing any crime against Rome. Not a good idea to promote Jesus at the time, you think? Do you really want to go through that? Not a good way to start a religion either. You know, think about this, right? Some guys wake up one day and say, let's start a religion. Let's get a bunch of people to follow us. Okay. Sounds like a good idea. Who is our God? Oh, he was crucified 3 days ago. But let's say you entertain me for a minute, okay? Okay, sign me up. Let's go and convince people. What are we going to tell them? How are we going to convince them to follow us? Let's start with this. Let's convince them to walk the extra mile with the Roman soldier, the people that are like out to enslave you. Help them out. Love them. Walk the extra mile with them. Oh, it gets even better. Love your enemy. Serve them. Wash their feet. We're going to ask people to stop sleeping around and have one wife and one husband. That's what we're going to ask them to do. We're going to ask husbands to love their wives the way God loves his people, the church. That's rare. We're going to ask the wives to respect their husband. we're going to ask the children to listen to their parents. That's a rarity. That's what we're going to do. We're going to start this religion, and we're going to ask all the kids to listen and obey their parents. Wow. And we're going to ask the parents to be reasonable and avoid exasperating your children. We're going to ask people to stop getting drunk. We're going to ask people, some of you guys are going to disagree with this one. It's good practice to go to church, even if the weather is really nice on Sunday morning. That's what we're going to ask them. That's how we're going to start a religion. We're going to tell people that God created male and female. He created them. That's what we're going to tell them. Yes, this is a great idea. Let's start a religion and let's get everyone to follow it. This is a good one. Wait, we're not done yet. This is going to be the kicker. This is going to be the game changer. This is what's going to get everyone to follow Christianity. We're going to ask people to give their hard-earned money to the church. Who's with me? Who's going? At that moment, everyone's going to turn away. See you later. Your Savior is crucified. You are starting something that's crazy. You silly wabbits. Tricks are for kids. Who goes and start a religion like that? But yet, Christianity, the name Jesus Christ, is the biggest religion in the world. They tried to burn the Bible. They tried to kick you out of church. They tried to make you feel like you are nothing. But yet Christianity still reigns supreme, and God's name still etch on people's hearts, because you do not make something up like this. These are life-altering events. Man didn't create Christianity. The resurrection gave birth to Christianity, and it changed the man, and it changed humanity. Amen? Because for God so loved the world that whoever believes in him, because he gave us his only son, and whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. This was set in motion by God 10,000 years earlier. 10,000 years earlier, that Jesus was going to come from the line of Judah, the lineage of David, and he's going to rise into Jerusalem on a donkey, and he's going to die on the cross, and he's going to rise again on the third day to save us. This was set in motion 10,000 years before the death of Jesus. And this is what happened 10,000 years earlier. King David, this is the first thing he did. Every Jew appreciates this story. The Israelites were backed against the wall. Saul was the king. And the Philistine was approaching. And they had this huge human. There's no one in the camp is going to defeat this guy. His name was Goliath. And the Bible described Goliath as someone who was a little bit taller in stature than the rest of the Israelites. So he stepped out. He says, "You guys are the army of the Lord? I'm today defying the army of the Lord. Has anyone in your camp is going to defeat me? I am Goliath. I am the Philistine." So the entire Israelites were scared. Saul was scared. Everybody was scared. No one would step up to take on Goliath. So here comes King David. A young boy went out. And this is what he said. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32. "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." And Saul replied to him, "You are not able to go out against the Philistine and fight. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." And David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who have you defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I'm going to give your carcass to the birds, to the air, to the animals to eat. And the whole world will know that there's a God in Israel. And everyone who's here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into your hands. Amen. That's the first thing that David did. Lean in. I want to tell you a secret. You're not David. I want to tell you a little secret. You are not David. You don't have a giant to slay. You don't have to go fight your giants, because David did that already. He is a figure of someone to come, which is Jesus Christ. David fought Goliath, which represents our sin. Jesus died on the cross, which represents he's taken our sins away, so you don't have to fight your Goliath. Amen? There's no Goliath to fight. I know that might be new to some of you. You don't have to fight the battles. There's no more Goliath. There's no more giants. You don't have to step out and say, ah, I'm kind of scared. No, those things are gone. David did that already. The battle has been won. Amen? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. These are life-altering events. You can't make this stuff up. My sons and I were swimming. We love to swim. We love the water. We love being on the water. We love to go fishing. We love to go to the beach. We do anything that has to do with water. One of them knows how to swim. The other one kind of know how to swim. Yeah, now you do, but... So one day we were hanging out at a friend's pool, and Avery was in the pool swimming, and Aram followed. Well, the problem was Aram didn't really quite know how to swim yet. So he was struggling. He's paddling, he's pulling as Avery swim off to the side there, and Aram right behind him, paddling, pulling. And I'm his dad, I see what's happening. I went up to him, he's not quite drowning, but he's learning how to swim, and he's kicking, he's paddling, and he's screaming out, Dad, Dad! He's crying, and he's screaming, Dad, Dad! And I wanted so bad to pick him up and take him out of the pool, because I know he was struggling, but I see him swimming. But I didn't reach my hand in to grab him, and I watch him. I said, son, you can do this. Keep paddling. The shore, it's right there. Keep paddling, son. You're going to make it to the end. Keep paddling. And he paddled. And he finally made it to the shore on his own. I reach my hand in, and I grab him. I give him a big hug, and he cried. He was scared. You don't forget something like that. And today could be your day. Where you're swimming long enough and you are wondering where God is, or what is this? The resurrection real? Why am I here? He has risen. Why am I here? Easter Sunday? This is something my family done for years. But no, Easter Sunday was intended for you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for your own, because you've been paddling too long and God is standing on your side and he says, you keep paddling. Because I'm right here and I'm going to reach and I'm going to pull you out. And you keep paddling. That's what the resurrection did for a man. And that's what the resurrection did for you. Without the resurrection, there's no Christianity. Stop swimming aimlessly. But God says, I send my son, I'm going to pull you out. Something we do here every Sunday. It's called communion. This might be new to some of you, and that's okay. You might have been a Christian for a while, but you kind of fade away. You might have been baptized, and you kind of fade away. I want you to know how special this is. When we take this together, if you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, just want you to spend some time in prayer. If you are a Christian, I want you to know how special this is. Every Sunday, we do this. We want to remember the only reason why we're here and the reason why we come to church is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and he rose from the dead. And he says, this is my body for you. And he said, I fought your giants for you already. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way he took the cup, something that our Jewish friends have taken the Passover meal just a couple days ago. But Jesus conducted his own Passover meal and he says, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant. And every Sunday as our church here, we do this to remember that God already washed away our sins, our past mistakes, our current mistakes, and our future mistakes. He fought our battles already. You don't have a giant to slay. He did it already. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. Kendrick, can you go get Michael? Get ready for baptized right behind you. We're going to have a baptism. But in the next few moments, I want you to pray. I want you to talk to God. He wants to hear from you. And if you have any decisions at all, after the baptism, we're going to have an invitational time. I'm going to be wet already. We have change of clothes for you. If you've never been baptized, you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've been wandering off, you've been kind of questioning your faith, and where did all this make sense? Well, we begin with you giving your heart to Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Savior. You're baptized into his death, his burial, and you come out of the water to represent the resurrection. Now, you might ask yourself, do I need to do that? The answer is yes. Because it's important to God, and it matters to God. And the scripture says, believe, repent, and be baptized, every one of you. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, this can be a misconception. Does baptism save you? Or does the water save you? Does the song save you? Does Pastor New save you? The answer is no. Who's doing the savings? God saves you. God saves you. But he wants you to paddle towards him. Spend some time in prayer. He wants to hear from you. And if you have a decision to make, we're going to have an invitation song right after baptism. I want you to walk up, go to the back, change. We have plenty of clothes. And we'll do it right here. Amen. Amen. Spend some time in prayers.